To Be of Use by Aricet, read by Isweden. Chapter 25 Rules.
Hangpyeongchun! Hangpyeongchun!
Lan Chun, in the middle of the cold springs, breathed in as deeply as he could and tried to decide if he actually wanted to get up or if being made to wait would be punishment enough for Jing Yi. He sank down further into the water and watched the path to the cold springs with heavily lidded eyes. There was no further shouting, but a rustle of vegetation and speech that suggested that the boys were right up the path. He rolled his neck. It had been a while since he came back from a hunt this bruised, and he was loath to leave the cold spring sooner than he needed to. After a minute, a white form became visible above the turn of the path. They moved too sedately to be Jing Yi, and Lan Zhan slowly moved over to the side of the spring nearest the path as Su Shui came into view.
Hangpyeongchun,
he called as soon as he was close enough to be heard without shouting.
I'm sorry. Do you know how long you will be? Jing Yi really wanted to show you his notebook. He's very excited.
Nan Zhan said, thinking, when is he not? He came all the way to the edge and rested his arms on the stone ledge.
Are you still hurting, father? Su Shui said, quietly solicitous.
He let his eyes flick down to his father's shoulders before raising them back to his face with an apologetic look.
Sorry.
No need to apologize. Lan Zhan stood up in the water and twisted sideways so his son could see his back. Su Shui bent closer and ghosted his hands over the bruises on his side, careful and clinical.
They don't look too bad, father. Nothing is broken, right?
He waited for Lan Zhan to shake his head and carefully looked over his whole back.
It didn't reopen any of your scars, did it?
Lan Zhan shook his head again and made a small gesture for Su Shui to move back. He did, but not before sending a little furtive pulse of spiritual energy into his father's bruises.
Ayun. Lan Zhan chided, too touched to be strict.
Be careful. It is at the end of the day. If you slip while already tired, you could drain yourself.
I'm getting better at externals, father, he pushed back respectfully. Most disciples his age were expected to work on the internal shaping of spiritual energy before they did anything external. But Si Chun had already started teaching him some ward shaping, excitedly telling Lan Zhan that he has a gift for casting.
You don't have to worry. Shall I help you with your robes? Lan Zhan wasn't so stiff that he couldn't have redressed himself, but selfishly, he wanted Su Shui's help. He hadn't helped his father dress since he was a much smaller boy, and Lan Zhan felt tender and more than his bruised side at how carefully the boy helped him put on his robes, even though he had to stand up on his toes and stretch to reach his father's shoulders. It was selfishness, however. He would copy some lines tonight. When he was redressed, the outer robe already wicking the damp out of his hair, he laid his hand on Su Shui's head.
Come. Let's not hurry, though. He was really shouting, Su Shui agreed, holding Lan Zhan's hand in his own. He deserves to wait.
When they came around the bend in the path together, Jing Yi sprang up from the rock where he was sitting and beamed at Lan Zhan.
Hangpyeongchun,
He cut himself off, and his mobile features dropped instantly from delighted to worried.
Oh, no. You're not really hurt too badly, are you? Did the springs help? He stopped with a wince.
You knew that he came back hurt, Jingyi, Su Shui said with a gently disapproving look that was all Lan Xichun. Even if he's not in danger, it doesn't mean he might not be hurting.
It's just hard to think how anything could really hurt Hong Guangjun, he muttered, and came up beside Lan Zhan's other side as though to help him walk.
You're sure you're okay, Ah Yuan's dad?
Lan Zhan said, and gently nudged the boy away from unnecessarily supporting him. He did leave his hand on that shoulder, though. What is so important?
I guess it's not really...
He frowned and shook himself.
No, well, it's important to me.
Then, of course, it's important to us, too, Su Shui said, and Lan Zhan nodded his agreement. Jingyi beamed at them. If he ever learned how weak Lan Zhan was to that smile, he would be unstoppable. Best avoid that at all costs. They passed the clearing where the rabbits tended to congregate, and Jingyi stopped.
I can show you here if you like.
They all found seats and appropriately greeted the rabbits that came to investigate them. Soon, Su Shui and Lan Zhan each had a bunny on their laps, but Jingyi shooed away any lapin encroachment of his own legs to instead pull a notebook out of his robes and open it on his lap.
Do you remember this, Hong Guangjun?
Lan Zhan replied with only an unimpressed stare.
Well, of course. I've collected everyone I can find. The rules.
Lan Zhan said, and held out his hand for the notebook. Disciples of Jingyi and Su Shui's age were not expected to have memorized all 3,000 rules yet, although they would have been exposed to most of them already. Perhaps it wasn't a surprise that the disciple with the record for most lines copied in punishment of his generation would have already looked through them all.
I tried to stick the more... He wrinkled his nose as he thought.
Literal? Su Shui offered.
Yeah, literal, like think before speaking, is kinda opposite to speak decisively. But show filial piety is only opposite to be righteous if your parents are unrighteous, so I didn't include that one.
Lan Zhan nodded and hoped the boy could tell that he was pleased. Just in case, he said, I expected that Jingyi's sharp mind would be adequate to this task. Jingyi glowed as Su Shui gave him a little congratulatory tap-tap-tap on his back, as if Lan Zhan couldn't see it clearly. He indulged in a subtle eye-roll and smile.
What do you think? Su Shui said.
Lan Zhan took his time reading carefully through the notebook. At the beginning, everything was written very carefully, but the calligraphy did become more hasty and untidy in fits and starts, which was fine, but one page was so nigh indecipherable that it seemed necessary to raise his eyebrow at Jingyi. The boy winced and picked up a bunny as a distraction. Lan Zhan shook his head just a little and continued reading. One thing he noticed as the pages went on was, there are at least 6 different handwritings here. Su Shui nodded.
Me, Jingyi, Li Zhongdao, Li Zhongyun, Lan Zihua, Wang Buwen.
Is that bad? Jingyi asked anxiously, hands pausing in the petting of the rabbit. That I told more people?
No, Lan-Chan said, then had to think for a second to decide if he wanted to say more about it.
Just because we don't want to show something to everybody, that doesn't mean that thing has to be bad, Sujue offered.
Lan-Chan agreed, reluctant to dig into the topic more deeply than that, and went back to the notebook. There were several that the children had listed as being repetitious or opposing that he wouldn't have picked, and a few missing that he would have. But the point wasn't to teach them the right answer. It was to give them permission to think about the rules more deeply. He closed the notebook and handed it back to Jing Yi with a nod. Very good work. You can tell your classmates the same thing.
Thank you, Jing Yi said, and evicted the rabbit from his lap when it made as if to nibble on the paper. Now, what do we do with it, Han Guangjun?
Lan-Chan said, and thought. Things would have to be adjusted slightly if more than just Sushui and Jing Yi were participating. I will inform the quartermaster, he said after a moment, to set aside 6 notebooks for you and your classmates. Whomever wishes to participate may take a notebook, and I will also ask the quartermaster to inform sect leader of who does, so that student can be accredited for extra work.
What work? Jing Yi said with bright-eyed interest.
Lan-Chan nodded to the notebook. We will begin by assuming that the rules are not wrong, but our understanding of them is. Under that framework, you will take each rule you have identified and explain in a little more detail what you would have intended it to mean if it were you writing it.
I don't know if Jing Yi can even pretend to write rules instead of breaking them, Sushfei said impishly, and dodged the pinch Jing Yi aimed at his side.
Lan-Chan huffed a faint laugh at them. I think someone who can so diligently imitate Clan Leader Yao without ever having met him, has the imagination necessary for the task.
You can count on me,
Lan-Chan patted his head. Just to use an example from your notebook, you list think before speaking as a pair with don't take your words lightly. What would your meaning be if you wrote the first? Both boys thought for a long minute.
I would mean it like how father does, Sushui said slowly. Father thinks before speaking. He wants to say things correctly and not be misunderstood.
Or the first thing you want to say may be based on your emotions, Jing Yi blurted out. So you should think first, so you can make sure your words aren't only twisted by your feelings.
And the second rule of that pair. They thought again, and Lan-Chan hid a smile in a rabbit's fur.
That sounds more like, don't say it just to say it. If you don't mean it, don't say it.
Jing Yi frowned, head tilting to its side.
That makes it more like lying is forbidden than think before speaking.
Lan-Chan nodded in approval. These are the sort of things you will be considering.
6 notebooks, Sushui said thoughtfully.
Perhaps you all will want to divide the rules between you and each write an explanation for a different one. Perhaps you will want to each think up an explanation on your own. He straightened, setting the rabbit down, and the boys straightened sharply in imitation,
Once you have these explanations in mind, you can reevaluate your previous opinions. Perhaps you will no longer think they are redundant or opposite. Perhaps you will still think so. Once that is done, we can do the final step. The boys exchanged intrigued looks.
Okay, Jingyi said. It does sound interesting. Do we need to be done by the time you're back?
Lan Zhan shook his head. You have a lifetime to learn what you need to know. There is no need to rush, and your other studies shouldn't suffer.
Both boys nodded, and Jingyi stood up decisively, then hesitated, hands tugging at the ends of his sleeves.
Han Guangjun, thank you.
Lan Zhan tipped his head slightly, questioning, and the boy hurried on.
You didn't have to answer all my questions like this all the time, and when I was little, too, I...
He flushed, and Lan Zhan blinked in surprise.
I think I was very rude and demanding all the time. I'm sorry you had to deal with me all the time, just because of me being Ai Yun's friend, and when you should have been in peaceful seclusion.
He looked like he almost wanted to cry. Lan Zhan, alarmed, reached out to cup the boy's face in his hands. It was still a small, round-cheeked, large-eyed face, and yet it had grown so much in just a few years. He struggled to figure out what he could say, and finally just told him,
I would rather have 1 hour of Jingyi than 1 year of peace. Understand?
That still makes me disruptive, Jingyi sniffed, but he was smiling again. But thank you. I think I do understand.
If Father didn't want you somewhere, he could just pick you up and move you, Su Shui contributed out of nowhere, and Jingyi laughed.
He could throw me far away.
Nonsense, Lan Zhan said comfortably, and picked the rabbit back up.
Chapter 26 Reinforcement. Su Chun typically brought one of the juniors with him to all the major cultivation events. It was practically standard policy. And yet, Lan Zhan was certain that the only reason Su Shui and Jingyi were both coming along to this discussion conference was to keep Lan Zhan on his best behavior. The sad part was, it was probably going to work. They landed outside the gates of the unclean realm, not the first to do so. Su Chun had Su Shui with him on his sword, and Lan Zhan had Jingyi, and it took the children a moment to sort themselves out, in which time attendants came to offer greetings and escort them inside. They were shown to a small side room to refresh themselves and provided with tea, but they had hardly sat down when sect leader Nie bustled into the room.
Second brother! Second young master Lan! It is an honor to have you here with us!
His fan accentuated his as he bowed a faintly jerky bow and smiled nervously at them.
Hello, Huai Song, Xiu Chen said warmly, and approached to clasp his shoulder after bowing. How is everything going?
Huai Song made a complicated face that he then hid with the fan.
About half the clans attending have arrived. No fights yet. Nobody seems to have been poisoned. Nobody's tried to lay hands on any of the staff.
He smiled weakly.
The kitchens are having no problem making the meals,
Of course, Xi Chen said with a kind smile. Qing Henye is quietly prosperous under your leadership. That made the fan flutter faster for some reason. And Xi Chen gentled his smile further. If I can assist in any way, you will not hesitate to ask. He laughed weakly. Oh, you know me, second brother. He tilted his head at Lan Zhan and blinked rapidly.
I hope it's not too rude to say. I'm surprised to see you here, Han Guanjun. I know you stay very busy these days. It's an honor.
Lan Zhan inclined his head in answer, keeping a tight lid on his expression. That was why Xi Chen had insisted he come. There had been talk of why the second jade had completely removed himself from cultivator society, to the point that rumors of him being as good as a rogue cultivator had reached even Xi Chen's ears.
Just make an appearance, Fan Ji, so they know that you are still a member in good standing of Gu Sulan. When your travels bring you into others' territory, it will be good that they know you aren't some kind of rogue element.
He came. That didn't mean he had to like it. The boys were quiet as sect leader Nian left, and as they took their tea, Lan Zhan might have been concerned enough to ask after them, but he was tense enough himself that he could only make any problems worse. Xi Chen teased a few words out of them. They didn't seem frightened, but very serious, and determined to bring honor to their sect. When a servant came to direct them to the main banquet hall, the boys walked unobtrusively 2 steps behind the twin jades, and didn't make so much as a peep. Their seating was behind the jins and several small sects. Xi Chen promptly began a friendly conversation with Jin Gong Yao, and Lan Zhan kept his eyes firmly on his place setting for the whole meal. The boys beside him were on their very best behavior. At one point, he filled Jing Yi's water cup and got a look of gratitude that would be better suited to life-saving field medicine. But that was pretty much the only interesting part of the whole proceeding. Afterwards, sect leader Niet gave a very short speech, thanking everyone as host before sending them to bed to rest up for the discussions beginning in the morning.
Go on ahead, Wan Ji, Xi Chen told him quietly. Some people,
a fond sideways glance to the boys,
will be tired already. But I thought to join A Yao in playing Qin for a while. Will you be all right?
Lan Zhan was sure his look was completely deadpan, but his brother understood him all the same.
All right, then. He nodded to the boys and said a little more loudly,
Thank you for your attention tonight, disciples. You and Han Guanjun should go on and head to the provided quarters.
Yes, Zhouwujun,
they chorused with bows. Lan Zhan tilted his head in the proper direction, and the boys fell in behind him obediently. He was ready to breathe out a sigh of relief that none of that had gone as terribly as he had feared. Which was, of course, when Zheng Wan Yin came around the turn of the corridor and stopped in his tracks. They looked at each other. Or at least, he assumed so. Lan Zhan refused to meet his eyes. Not even the rising tension he could sense in the boys behind him was enough that he could make himself speak.
Han Guanjun, the other gritted out after a moment.
His voice had deepened since Lan Zhan had seen him last.
Lan Zhan managed,
and inclined his head fractionally.
We have been sent to our quarters for the night, sect leader Zhang,
Jing Yi blurted out.
Han Guanjun is escorting these 2 disciples.
thank you for your assistance to our senior sister, Lan Yining,
Su Shui added. Probably only someone who knew him as well as his family could hear the slight breathless edge in his voice.
The device made by the craftsmen from your sect has been very helpful as she assists in our instruction.
A snort. By start you young, huh? He shifted, crossing his arms.
Lan Zhan watched Zi Jian.
Well, you and your babysitter should probably be going then. With a chorus of,
Yes, sect leader Zheng,
and a bob set of bows, the children let Lan Zhan take them onwards. He caught a glimpse of the other's expression as they left, and found it in himself to distantly wonder why the hatred seemed to be so mutual. Zheng Wanyin had caused Wei Yin's death. Lan Zhan couldn't imagine what he could have done to earn proportionate ire. Or perhaps that was all Zheng Huajin was capable of feeling these days. Lan Zheng was still the taller of the two, he noted in passing. When they reached the provided quarters, the boys busied themselves in preparing for bed, cleaning up, changing clothes, and letting down hair, all with no more than the occasional murmur back and forth. Lan Zhan did the same with puppet-like efficiency, until he was seated on a cushion, working to disentangle his headpiece, and small, nimble fingers interrupted him.
I can help, father.
While Su Shui helped his father, Jing Yi concentrated on working the comb through his own hair.
I am sorry, Lan Zhan said after a moment.
Su Shui's efforts in his hair paused only briefly, but Jing Yi dropped his comb and gulped at him.
For what?
My behavior was not as it should be, he said evenly. He huffed out an annoyed breath. I will copy the rules on comportment 10 times in punishment.
You weren't so bad, Hong Gun Jin, Jing Yi said comfortingly,
flopping down on his belly and scooting forward to press his forehead into Lan Zhan's hand, where it rested on his knee.
People know you don't like to talk a lot, he said,
voice slightly muffled by his position. He shook his head.
Think how surprised the servants were the first time they heard you giving me a lecture. If sect leader Zheng told anyone, even, they wouldn't be surprised.
The cloud embellishment on Jing Yi's ribbon was pressed into the back of Lan Zhan's hand, and he took the comfort from it he was intended to. Nevertheless, I was surprised. I will do better in the future, to ensure that I do not bring dishonor to our sect.
I think it worked out okay, Su Shui said thoughtfully.
Finished with his father's hair, he plopped down in front of his knees, barely missing Jing Yi, who squawked, and presenting his own mane to be dealt with.
Me and Jing Yi were surprised too. We could do better next time.
He hummed as the comb was drawn through his hair.
Sect leader Zheng wasn't very polite himself, either. I think we did all right.
Neither of them breathed even a wisp of curiosity about why sect leader Zheng, of all people, would cause such a reaction in their Hong Guan Jin. And he was grateful. No doubt when they returned to Cloud Recesses, Jing Yi would be diving into the records of the past decade or so to see if he could ferret out a story. But Lan Zhan appreciated their consideration all the same. In return, he offered, None of us should be expected to speak in the discussion conference much, if at all. We simply have to stand behind our sect leader and do him due honor.
As if anyone could look down on Zhou
Jun, Jingyi said smugly.
Chapter 27 Instruments. The air felt thick with tension and spiritual energy both. It had been some time since there were as many as 4 initiates to be promoted to junior disciple at the same time, and while it made sense for many reasons to forge all 4 swords at once, it did put a certain amount of strain on everyone involved. Lan Zhan stood beside Su Shui, the both of them meditating lightly as they waited. Just a few paces away, Jingyi was being held in place by his aunt's hands firm on his shoulders. Su Shui stiffened, and Lan Zhan looked askance at him.
"Did you feel that?" the boy murmured.
Lan Zhan considered, and eventually said, "Unknown. I can sense several things, but I do not know if it is what you are referring to." He allowed himself a faint smile and a supportive touch of the child's shoulder. "It could be that they are almost finished with your sword." The preparatory work involved in making a cultivator's blade was intended to make the two as compatible as possible. Su Shui's eyes went wide. "Really?" Gazing up at his father as he was, he looked more like his younger self than he had in years. Lan Zhan kept a careful command of his expression and nodded.
"Oh," he breathed and looked at the foundry with renewed intensity. A bare handful of minutes later, a flush of blue energy rippled out from the building, and Lan Zhan strode towards it, followed by Jingyi's aunt a few steps behind. The other 2 disciples' guardians entered through the other door. In this, as in many other areas, there was much less ceremony than there had been in Lan Zhan's youth. The broad-shouldered woman in charge of the foundry had taken over during the Sunshot campaign, when the previous master was killed, and she had forged too many mundane and replacement blades to hold with much undue formality. From what Lan Zhan understood, her daughter had received her own blade 2 years ago and gotten no more fussing herself. Within minutes, he came back out of the foundry with Su Shui's sword in his hands. Su Shui's eyes were shining, his hands clasped behind him so as not to reach out hastily. "It is beautiful, Hong Guanjun." The sheath was beautifully made, but plain. Although it was rare, the techniques used by Gu Sulan in forging their weapons occasionally resulted in a blade that ended up rejecting its recipient after a few weeks or months of use. And so the swords had no names or customization until it was seen if they would mesh with their intended recipient. He knelt before his son and extended the sword, held flat on his 2 hands. Su Shui didn't hesitate, and Lan Zhan felt a warm glow of pride. The boy reached out to grasp the hilt, pulling the blade halfway out, and gripped the exposed blade in his other fist. His brow furrowed, but he made no other signs of pain as he clenched his hand until the blade cut into it and blood welled up. "Good," Lan Zhan said, and remained steady as his son resheathed the blade and took it off his hands. As soon as he did, Lan Zhan stretched out both hands, touching 2 fingers to Su Shui's wrist and 2 to his sternum. He diligently traced the turbulent flow of qi as the sword bound itself to its new owner, not letting up his focus until Su Shui sighed explosively and tilted the sword to show that all the blood had absorbed into the scabbard with no trace remaining. "It feels fine, father," he whispered, and stared at him. too excited to smile. Lan Zhan nodded, flush with pride, and got smoothly to his feet.
Han Guanjun!
Father and son both started a little and turned to where Jingyi and his aunt were watching. Jingyi was bouncing up and down on his toes and beaming all over his face at his friend's success. His own sword was still in his aunt's hands.
Han Guanjun, I will beg your assistance once more.
Jingyi's aunt's expression was self-deprecating. Unless I miss my guess, the sword is prepared to be just as troublesome as its owner. We both know the limitations of my abilities. I ask you to please monitor Jingyi's energy after the binding.
Of course, Lan Zhan avowed, fully conscious of the honor, and went to kneel beside Jingyi.
Han Guanjun,
he whispered, as though it mattered.
Su Shui's sword likes him, right? Do you think mine will like me too?
It will if it knows what's good for it, his aunt said dryly, and knelt to present the blade.
Jingyi did not hesitate any more than Su Shui had, although he made little flinches and whimpers all throughout the process. Lan Zhan monitored his energy just as closely, and agreed with his aunt's assessment. The sword's energy was strong and assertive. All the better, Jingyi's chosen instrument, the Erhu, was not well suited for battle music, so he would rely heavily on casting and on his blade when he was ready for night hunting. But its energy melded with Jingyi's with no more conflict than two streams merging together. And Lan Zhan withdrew his cognition with a satisfied nod.
Congratulations, Jingyi, his aunt said fondly. The two boys looked at each other and bounced in place, just once or twice, before reforming their dignity.
Be aware, Lan Zhan cautioned them. It is a good start, but they still might prove unsuitable. You will want to monitor them frequently for at least a few months.
I'm going to sleep with mine, Jingyi said firmly. That's what Lan Zuhua said she did when she got hers, and it helped. And her mom made the swords, so surely she'd know.
It shouldn't hurt, at least, Su Shui said, with a speculative glance at his own sword.
Unless you roll into it in the night, and it sticks you, Jingyi's aunt said repressively. In the meantime, their proven ability to bond with a spiritual weapon meant that the Ludia could begin working on their spiritual instruments. That would likely take a year or more from start to finish. Su Shui's hands weren't big enough for the full-size Qin yet anyway, so the delay would not cause any difficulty.
I can use my grandmother's Erhu in the meantime, Jingyi told the luthier earnestly. Even if it's not bonded to me, it's better than a practice one. I take very good care of it.
The luthier gave him an unimpressed look and held out his hands. And Jingyi blushed and his hands fluttered.
Yes, that. Han Guanjun, I'm sorry.
Shh, Lan Zhan said,
and handed him the Chen Kun pouch where it was stored. Jingyi pulled the instrument out and handed it to the luthier with all the caution of someone handing a spun sugar sculpture. Lan Zhan had seen the instrument plenty of times, and so knew that Jingyi did indeed take very good care of it. The python skin of the sound box was gray with age, and the tuning pegs would need to be replaced before too long, but he kept it scrupulously clean and protected. The luthier nodded after his inspection, passing it back.
Hmm,
Are you going to ask for some kind of elaborate decorative tip to the neck, like most of the young kids do? Jingyi shifted in place, casting a glance back at Lan Zhan, who had no idea what he was trying to communicate, and so just met his eyes levelly.
I mean, of course I would like it if it were beautiful, but as long as it is suitable, I will trust the master's taste.
If there is room on the sound box after the usual sigils are inscribed, Jingyi would like some lines of poetry or a literary excerpt, Lan Zhan said, ignoring the boy's betrayed book. I will have him provide you with some options, so that if you wish to pursue that avenue, it will be ready for you. In addition, for the python skin, I brought back something suitable last year. There should be an amount reserved for use in Jingyi's Arhu specifically. The luthier squinted at him suspiciously. That skin. Yes, Lan Zhan said evenly. It had been a very small winged serpent, and he had seen no reason why a square of the hide couldn't be saved for Jingyi. There had been some polite back and forth at the time, but as the one who had killed and skinned the beast, Lan Zhan had the final word. The luthier turned his gaze to Su Shui.
My practice, Jin, he said politely, pulling it from its pouch. It was the same small-sized instrument Lan Zhan had learned on, and the master looked over every nook and cranny with reserved but visible appreciation.
I see. He returned the chin and sighed. Any special requests from this young master, then? Su Shui looked towards his father apprehensively. They had discussed this, and Lan Zhan urged him to stop hesitating with his eyes. That is... Su Shui looked down and to the side, his mouth set in the expression that meant,
I don't know how you're going to like what I'm going to tell you. I don't have as much spiritual power as Han Guangjun.
Shocking, the luthier deadpanned. Su Shui squeaked on a surprised laugh, then cleared his throat.
Yes, of course. That is, Han Guangjun can levitate his chin in the middle of combat, but I will have to carry mine.
That is the normal way of things.
And if I'm playing battle music, I don't want to force my companions to have to protect me because I'm occupied with my hands full. There's not a lot of us to go around. That is, he straightened up, looking determined. I was hoping you could make it specially reinforced. So if I swing it into something or someone, it won't be broken.
The master was silent for a long moment, his right hand grasping at his beard. Mostly the sigils of protection guard against breakage, but if you're thinking of using it as a glorified club, well... He gave Lan Zhan a pinched sideways eye and gestured at the training chin. Yours? Lan Zhan inclined his head. He gestured at Su Shui. Yours? Lan Zhan almost smiled. The luthier looked at Su Shui like he was trying to read something off the inside of his skull. Fine. He shook his head, grumbling slightly. Kids these days. But it will be heavier than you're used to. By 3 or 4 times. You had better be ready. I don't want to do all that work, and then you can't even lift the cursed thing.
I will, he said earnestly.
He can join me when I'm doing my punishment handstands, Jingyi said,
before wilting under the master's unimpressed eyes.
Chapter 28 Talismans. Su Chen was away on sect business, taking with him Lan Xia and Lan Li, who had gloated, then been punished for gloating, then merely preened, which meant that Lan Zhan had been press-ganged into supervising the youngest junior disciples in their lessons on use and activation of magical devices. When he asked, out of curiosity rather than reluctance, why one of the other disciples was not supervising, Si Chen said, "There are several promising disciples in our Sushui's class," which Lan Zhan correctly interpreted as, "They are right at that horrifying intersection of increasing spiritual power and uneven control that can result in impressive levels of destruction." Hence his presence here, on the back hill, dressed and equipped as he would be for a night hunt. 8 little juniors were lined up in front of him in their pristine white and blue robes, looking bright-eyed and excited. And Lan Zhan couldn't help but wonder if he was the one being tested. Along with Su Shui and Jin Yi were their age mates, Wang Bowen and Li Zhongdao, the latter's elder brother, Li Zhongyun, the eldest in the group, Lan Yishan, and the two young ladies, Lan Zihua and Lan Ruolun. Age 10 to 13, all told. Lan Zhan felt rather old. "We will begin with talismans," he said, and they nodded. Some of them looked relieved. What did they expect? Beginning with talismans was standard. He deliberately did not look at Jingyi, even though, if tales had been told, he was the likely culprit. Instead, he bent over gracefully, taking several stacks of talismans out of his sleeves to murmurs of interest from the disciples, and placing them on the small portable desk placed at the edge of the clearing for just this purpose. Each stack was weighed down with a carved paperweight. "Your teachers have prepared these for your use," he told them. Most nodded, but Su Shui and Ruolun looked disappointed. To them specifically, he said, "We will also have opportunity for you to practice with talismans you have made yourself. This is simply to limit the factors involved." "Thank you, Han Guanjun," Su Shui said. Lan Zhan noticed the students who weren't his age mates casting what they probably thought were subtle looks between Su Shui and Lan Zhan himself. It was no secret that Han Guanjun had an adopted ward, and that the ward was Su Shui, but it wasn't exactly the sort of thing that one casually discussed, too close to gossip. It was natural for them to be curious, although they would hopefully have the good manners not to do more than wander. For example, from his name and appearance, it was clear that Wang Bowen was likely a foundling adopted into the clan, but Lan Zhan did not know the specifics of his situation and would never be so crass as to ask without information being offered openly. "First," he said, and held up the first stack of talismans. "One of the most basic, fire, chiefly used for candles and campfires due to its relative weakness. They reformed their perfect line
and accepted the talismans given to them with two hands, each saying, "Thank you, teacher," as he handed them over. Lan Zhan, who was usually either Han Guangjun or Father these days, found himself amused at the novelty. Lan Yishan held a talisman up between his two fingers, then yelped as it burst into flame, dropping it in the grass and stamping it out before cringing in abject humiliation.
"I'm sorry, teacher Han Guangjun."
"It is why we are practicing," he said, politely ignoring the boy's emotional outburst. "It is likely that you instinctively reached out a tendril of spiritual energy to feel the talisman, and set it off. Have you done much external work yet?"
"No, Han Guangjun," he said, still shamefaced.
Well, he was the oldest, and yet in this class, for a reason. Hopefully, he would come to see that it was his juniors that were unusually advanced, not that he was lacking in some shameful way. "Not unusual," he said, as kindly as he thought he could, without further embarrassing the boy, and went to the start of the line. He nodded to Jingyi, and held out his two forefingers pointed at the boy's right shoulder. "As though you were holding a talisman." Jingyi, without hesitation, reached out and held them between his own two forefingers. They had done this several times in the past few years. "For the benefit of the other students," he said aloud, "now send a pulse of energy as you would in activating the fire talisman." Jingyi did as instructed, with a slight creasing of his brow in concentration. The little zip of energy was perfectly measured, and Lan Zhan easily absorbed it.
"Was that enough?"
Lan Zhan nodded.
"When you are learning, it is better to do less than you think you will need, rather than more." He moved from the beaming Jingyi to the next student. Not Zishui, he was slightly surprised to note. He and Jingyi were usually side by side, but this time his son had taken the far end of the line. "Now you." Zhang Dao, with a quick look at his older brother, did as instructed. His spark of energy wasn't as fearlessly quick as Jingyi's, but well modulated all the same. Lan Zhan knew from the times the boy had joined Su Shui for sword practice that even a compliment as mild as "well done" could throw him off for hours. So instead, he just nodded slightly in approval and moved to the next. All of the students performed fairly well, apart from Su Shui and Jingyi, who really shouldn't have been working on externals as long as they had, but only had Lan Zhan and Xi Zhen to blame. Ruo Lan was the most refined at the technique. Yishan and Zuhua each took several tries to get it right, and Lan Zhan diligently made no sign when Yishan's poorly modulated pulses sent sparks of pain through his meridians as he absorbed them. When they were done, he stepped back and nodded at them. "Good. Now, one at a time, take a talisman and light it. Jingyi." Jingyi nodded, lips pressed in a determined line. He held up the talisman between his two fingers, frowning at it intently. It crackled into flames, just as it was supposed to do, and his look of concentration melted into a smile.
"Like that," he said, then hissed and dropped the talisman as it burned down to his fingers.
"Drop it before it burns you," Lan Zhan suggested dryly. "Good. You will want to practice more on drawing these, probably,
to get a good sense of their power lines. You seem to be focusing your energy on the paper itself as much as the seal. Wasteful. Jingyi nodded again, a stubborn light in his eyes, and he pulled out another talisman to impatiently wait his turn. Lanchan made it down the whole line without the juniors having any problems besides some scorched fingers. Then he went down the line again, then a third time, then a fourth, and then all the fire talismans were gone. Everyone was shaking their hands out and trying to hide their expressions with varying degrees of success. Zuhua had managed to scorch a strand of her hair and looked quietly thunderous. "Good," Lan Zhan said generally. They looked hopeful, and he tried to dredge up a little more detail than that, even though he had given them personalized feedback as he went. "I saw progress, even with just 4 chances to practice each. That is a good sign. Next, who can identify this?" He passed out the talismans, and each junior bent their head over their own stack studiously. Ruolun recognized one of the radicals, Sushui another, but no one knew what it was exactly. "I'm sorry," Sushui said after a moment, and the others looked grateful that he was taking the initiative. "I don't know what it does, Hong Guanjun." "Hmm," Lan Zhan said, and nodded at Jingyi to start. The boy blinked stupidly for a minute, before taking a single talisman slip in his right fingers. He held it far out in front of himself, and triggered it. It dissolved into a shower of sparks that filled about a 5-foot cube in front of himself.
"Foxfire!"
Ruolu shouted, then winced for shouting. "Copy the rules of conduct twice when you get back," he told her for the noise, and she relaxed to know that was all. "Correct. What is it for?" "Distraction," Sushui said. His head was slightly tilted to the side, in that lovely way he had that meant he was thinking carefully. "It's not a common one, though, or we would know it. So is it not very useful?" "It is not bad to have, but there are limited circumstances where it would be of aid," Lan Zhan said, and went down the line again, monitoring each of them. He kept all outward sign of inner conflict off his face as he thought hard. And when the last person had gone, he stepped back and cleared his throat. "It is always worthwhile to consider the use of even the more obscure seals and spells. The Yilin Patriarch modified this talisman slightly, and the sparks became something he could use to break wards."
"Really?"
2 juniors said simultaneously, and
"The Yilin Patriarch,"
Jingyi said. He said it like he had been given another piece to a puzzle, and Lan Zhan gave him a slight stink eye because he did not trust that tone at all.
"Will we learn that one?" Sujue asked, all earnestness.
Lan Zhan didn't know how, but he somehow managed to never press his father about Wei Yun, and he had to have as many pieces to that uncomfortable puzzle as Jingyi did, at least. Lan Zhan shook his head. The butterfly sparks talisman was one that he had a copy of, kept with the other few talismans made by Wei Yun that he'd saved. But no matter how he'd attempted to duplicate it, he had never managed to get it completely right. "No one else had figured it out," he managed. Yishan looked a little like he'd heard things about the Yilin Patriarch, but the others were so straightforwardly curious
that he found himself saying, "He was a prodigious inventor. You will use many things invented or modified by him when you are cultivators." Ting Yi, at least, looked very interested, and Lan Zhan kept his composure with an iron grip. Where could he talk about Wei Yun to people who did not stand in judgment? Perhaps someday here. But it was wasteful to stand around hoping, so he nodded at the front of the line and said, "Again." After they had all gone through all the talismans prepared by their teacher, he took a much thinner stack of them out of his sleeve. He didn't have to get their attention. It was pinpoint focused on him. "These are ones I made myself. They are drawn in blood rather than ink, and I put extra power in them." He held out the first to Jing Yi, who took it excitedly, and the second to Shong Dao, who picked it up gingerly in a thumb-pointer pinch. Lan Zhan, valiantly, did not roll his eyes. "You will each activate one of these to get the feel for a high-powered seal, and then you will go for lunch."
"Lunch!" Jing Yi cheered.
"Conduct. One set," Lan Zhan said repressively.
"Yes, Han Guanjin," he said.
Unrepressed. When they came back, they practiced until dark on setting off the signals that they would bring with them on every night hunt. Barely two shots in, he had to pull out his chin to start deflecting all the misfired signal shells. But, all things considered, he had to say they did quite well.